Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 267. Call this one another good year, 2018. It is the week of New Year's Eve, 2018. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Hope that your 2019 is better than 2018. As some of the people say, where I work, every day above ground is a good day. I had a really good year, really did. I'm going to do a little reflection on that a little bit later in the show. I'm not going to bore you with too many details, but I do like to reflect sometimes on the previous year when I get towards the end. I make I don't make New Year's resolutions because I don't keep them. I just try to keep on plugging along and trying to be nice and do the right thing. That's kind of an everyday resolution. So it's useless for me to make a New Year's resolution because I don't stick to them. But I'm not really against them. I'm just for me where I am. They just don't ever seem to work. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not even sure why I got to the negative negativity there. But you can reach me at ashlanddave@gmail.com if you want to write me an email. That's pretty much the only way I have at this point how to way to contact me. That might change after a few more months next year. I might try to get a little bit more engaged in social media to get the podcast out there to a little bit bigger audience to communicate with some other people and get ideas. I'm a little light on the email bag section of the show for this show. I only had two people that wrote in. So if you do want to reach me, please check in at ashlanddave@gmail.com. That's ashlanddave@gmail.com. Let me know where you hail from, what kind of running you do. Like I've said before, I do not collect emails and dump them in a database and then try to sell that or market you with any products or anything like that. I just kind of like to know where people kind of run from, what kind of running they do, maybe how long they've listened to the show and how they found the podcast. I've got a whole stack of stuff for this week's show. I will do a little bit of a year in review. Maybe I already said that. I'm not going to bore you with too many details, but I had a real good year. Accomplished a lot. Had a defeat as well. And I always find that kind of keeps you humble. So I'll kind of talk a little bit about that a little bit later in the show. But what I wanted to talk about first was some of the notes I'd made when I started doing some video research for people that have done 100 milers. As most of the people know in the podcast, I've got my first 100 miler planned for 2019. It'll be my first attempt. The reason I say that is because nothing in life is ever guaranteed, that's for sure. And I certainly don't want to assume anything. My race is the CNO Canal 100. It's the weekend of April 27th and 28th. I turned 50 this year, a couple weeks after that attempt. So I'm kind of at that 50-year-old midlife crisis. I was kind of the same way back when I was 40, which is when I kind of got into the ultras. I think 2009, that January was my first ultra. I did a 50K here in Virginia. That culminated up to the Sterling Gym 40-mile run, which was the week before my 40th birthday in Wartrace, Tennessee. Excellent time, great time down there. Ashlyn Bryan came and crewed me and Ashlyn Tom, and that was a humbling experience. I did finish the race, but boy, that was hard. A lot of dehydration going on in there. But anyway, so I'm now at the at a point in time where I want to attempt the 100 miler. I've done several 50 mile races. Got another one planned for February 2nd. I did one this year. I would say at this point I've done a bunch of 50 mile races. I've done 100K, and I think I'm just ready to try the next step. And I figured I'm not getting any younger, so this will be the time to do it. So as a result of all that, I went on YouTube and the internet and wherever else would accept me, and started looking up, produced documentaries of people that do 100 mile races, and I found two that I really liked, and I'm going to link to those in the show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com, and you should be able to still see those links if you get the show through iTunes. If you look in the show notes, or hit the little I button when you go to iTunes Store or wherever you get the show. And let me just go on a little side note of that. I've had a little bit of trouble with the RSS feed through iTunes because I subscribe to my own show in my iTunes just to see how listeners would get it when a new show comes up. And for some reason, when I refresh it, it doesn't automatically download the new show. I've had to repeatedly go back to the iTunes store and resubscribe to the podcast to get that new show to come up. So if for some reason you're listening to this show and you've missed some previous shows or whatever reason, go to that iTunes and maybe resubscribe to the podcast and see if that picks up. I haven't changed the RSS feed, but maybe for some reason it's just a little different algorithm or however that stuff works. A lot of this stuff works automatically now, and who knows if you get one little glitch in there. But anyway, I'm going to link to these two videos. One is called the Boonville 100. It's Reach for the Stars, Boonville Backroads Ultra 100. And it's really cool. It's in not too far from, it's, I guess, in the Des Moines metropolitan area, kind of. It's really a rural ultra, at least based on the video. And it's an excellent documentary. I think it's either an hour and 2 minutes or an hour and 21 minutes. So you can kind of play it and sit back and watch this guy finish the 100 miles through some unbelievably muddy roads. When they say back roads, a lot of it's on dirt roads. It was just really good. It was kind of emotional at the end to see the guy finish after some of the hardships. And I learned a lot from that. And I probably will watch that again. And then there's another one I'm going to link to in the show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com. And this one is called The End of the Tunnel, 2017 Tunnel Hill 50-mile, 100-mile documentary. And I think the reason I like this one so much is because it, not only did it have some great quotes from that movie from one of the characters in the movie, which I'll go over those quotes here in a minute. They're the same ones I talked about in episode 258 because they were so funny. And that was the first time I think I'd commented on that ultra movie in that episode. But it was about normal people. So I watched it again, and it looks like it's a group, kind of one of these CrossFit groups that out of Mississippi, and they went up and did the Tunnel Hill Ultra up in Illinois. Looks like they're from DeSoto County in Mississippi. They looks like their group is called Run Lift Heavy, Run Long. LHRL is their motto. And then one of the guys who's being interviewed, his course's t-shirt says only 26.2 with a question mark. But two of the best quotes from this. One of the guys who barely finished the 50-miler, it took him something, he just came inside the cutoff. I thought he was probably one of the most real people in the movie. Everybody in there was real, and the interviews were raw, and I highly recommend checking the video out if you're interested in anything like that. But he was having such a bad race, and his quote was, "Some days all you're capable of is smiling, being nice, and not being an asshole." And I thought that the reason I thought that's really sit well with me is because sometimes that's all I'm capable of doing any day, and not having anything to do with any races, especially if you're kind of a prisoner of your own weekend where you've got to go visit, you've got to maybe visit with folks or friends or something that you're just not in the mood to do. And the worst thing, all you're really capable of doing is just being nice and not being a dick to anybody. There was another funny quote in there when they're talking about running, and some of these guys are, they started the ultra running because for dieting. And one guy said, "Ice cream, sweet tea, chips, the hell with that stuff. Put it down, let's go running." And I thought that was another good quote that I like. And the reason I bring that up is because I am on a quest to try to get down to 200 pounds before my Light to Light 50 race date of February 2nd. As of last week, I was down to 208. I'm not doing it in a dangerous way. I'm doing it through reducing some portions of eating and drinking. And then, of course, I'm peaking right now for the next couple weeks for my 50-mile effort and training. And I'm hoping that with a combination of all those things, I'll get to a point where I come race day, I'm a lot lighter than I have been during a lot of the training runs and I have during previous ultras. So I would highly recommend those two YouTube videos, which are the movies that were uploaded. Somebody did a lot of work in making these movies and they put them on the YouTube, and you can link straight to those at ashlanddave.podbean.com or just search them yourself. And what I like to sit back and do is direct my smart TV with my phone and just kind of flip between different ultra running videos that I see on there just for some inspiration. And it's amazing how sometimes when you're watching some of these videos and these movies, and some of these folks are even more normal than I am. I mean, I'm very normal, like 120% normal, ordinary, nobody, middle of the pack. Nobody even knows I'm at races kind of thing. And then you see some of the folks in some of these videos, and they're like even more normal than I am, and I'm very normal. So it's really cool to watch just normal people get out there and do some unbelievable stuff. So I've also got another thing here in my stack, and this is in reference to a podcast that I started listening to, and I'm not really sure why I got interested in the Marathon Investigation podcast. This is the guy Scott, let's see, yeah, Derek and Scott, one of those guys is the one that does the 10 Junk Miles podcast. This is the guy that investigated people that cheat at marathons and triathlons, and I think it's an interesting concept to call people out that are cheating and then use those cheated times to qualify for Boston, which is kind of the Super Bowl of marathons. And since I'm not in that realm and I've never had a desire to run Boston or some of the real big, big, big city marathons where you wait around for hours before you can run and then you're elbow to elbow for the whole time, I got nothing against them. It's just, they're just not for me. I like some of the smaller stuff where they're just small and they're small. And I guess in some ways that's why I started kind of getting interested in some of the ultra races, that because sometimes they're pretty darn small. As for example, when you finish, there's nobody at the finish line except maybe one of your own supporters. But anyway, this guy, Scott and Derek, started doing this podcast. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because there's their third episode is when they talked about a triathlete who had been disqualified from a race and who apparently cut or maybe inadvertently cut one of the cycling section of the course. And the two hosts of the podcast get into this huge argument that went on and on and on and on with the friend of the disqualified athlete. And I ended up listening to the whole episode. I thought it was really weird. I'm going to link to this in ashlanddave.podbean.com as well. And I recommend you listen to it to see where this guy that they're arguing with, whose name is Bill, he starts from a very defensive point of view, and then he eventually comes around and the truth comes out. And the reason I thought this was really interesting is because sometimes this is how interviews go in my line of work. They start with a lot of resistance, a lot of denial. And then over time, when emotions kind of come down, rapport is gained, established, and then there's a little bit of a behavior change. And it's a really interesting interview, or it's a back and forth argument. And I'm surprised that nobody ended up just hanging up on the other person. I completely expected that to happen at some point, but it never did. And that's episode number 3 of the Marathon Investigation podcast that I recommend you check out. And again, I'll put that link at ashlanddave.podbean.com if you want to check that out. All right, let me talk just a little bit about the year in review. I don't want to bore all the listeners out there, but especially if you've listened to the podcast all year, I think I got out 12 or 13 episodes this year, trying to get out 2 a month. Sometimes it's really hard. But I just want to do a little reflection, and because I have learned quite a bit about myself through the distance running I've done this year, and the training, and one of the biggest highlights really was the 10th anniversary of the podcast, which took place in March. The total number of downloads for the last 10 years has been really pretty remarkable. It's 171,607 downloads. That's what the Podbean site tells me. That's about 600 or so, 50, I think I did the math, it's about 650 downloads per show. Which is pretty good for something that just started as a little hobby, started as something that I'd never thought would go anywhere. And I've made some good friends through the podcast, some people I communicate with on a regular basis, and people that, you know, are valuable to me. In fact, I'm meeting one of them, Sandy, down in Little Rock to see her finish her 50th state. My wife and I are going down there to visit with her and her husband, and she'll have some other people down there, I'm sure. So this is going to be a nice, good time down there. So anyway, the 10th anniversary, doing the podcast for 10 years and then actually having some people that have listened from the very beginning still stay in contact with me is, it's very flattering and humbling at the same time. But just to kind of go back and talk about a little bit of the things that I did this year, one of the biggest biggest things was the DNF I had back in March at the 50K, the Bel Monte Endurance Run up in the mountains. And I was kind of reflecting back, and I listened to one of my old shows talking when I recorded and produced after I did not finish that race, talking about how I might go back someday. I'm not so sure I'm really interested in going back and running an ultra in the mountains again. It's just not my thing. I mean, I like hiking, but I'm just not so sure I like running in the mountains in a competition for that kind of distance. Cause it's just, unless I had somebody to do it with, my wife and I can go hiking. She can't go running in the mountains. My daughter can't do that. And, it's a long way, and I'm just not so sure that that's something that's really in the cards for me, or just something I can do at my ability level. But I remember going into that feeling, cocky and confident, cause I had just come off that, huge, self, victory at the Light the Light, the inaugural Light the Light 50 down in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, where I ran 11 hours and 17 minutes, which was one of my best 50-mile times ever. And you can't really compare 50-mile courses, just like you can't really compare marathons, even though people do. I do the same thing with 50-mile races. The distance is the same, it's just the terrain is different. But I just had a really good showing down there for myself, and I got a little cocky going into the 50K up in the mountains, and of course the two don't compare whatsoever. But finishing that inaugural race was such a good feeling, and such a good finishing time, and feeling relatively good at the end, where I felt like I could have gone farther. I don't know how long farther I could have gone, but had I had to go further, I probably could have. And so I want to try that. Of course, I'm doing the race again this year. Just in a few months, 2019 on February 2nd, we'll be back down there for that, doing that again. And I've actually got one person from the Ashland area named Tina, who I will see down there. She's been doing ultras for the last couple of years. This will be her first attempt at a 50-miler, and she's done several 50Ks, and she's got the experience. We go to the same church, so it's I get to run into her, and I know her husband and her two sons, and certainly will run with her some down there, and I hope she does really well. So I didn't have a whole lot of races this year when it came to marathons or ultras. I had two, and I flunked on one of them, but I was passed with, in my opinion, an A-plus on the other one. But I also did the two half marathons, and the first one being the Patrick Henry half marathon, which was really hot, and I remember that one. I think I was by myself because, did I run with Ash and Bob? I can't remember who I ran with during that one. I think I ran with the same group. And then, of course, the one I paced at, the Richmond Half Marathon in November, which was really cool. The pacing is not something I'm so sure I'll do there again. I think I already paid for the – I can't remember if I paid for next year or not. Not sure if I'll do that one again. I think it's one of the better races that Richmond has. I really enjoy it, but I'd been doing it with Brian for the last couple of years, and I can't remember what I'd said after that when I did a podcast about that, if I said I would do it again or not. I have to check my emails to see if I'd already registered for next year. They have this early bird special, which I've taken advantage of before. But then when you sign up as a pacer, then they give you your race entry for free. But how do you know if you're going to be a pacer or not? I'm sure they'll ask me back. We had such a great experience, and the coordinator was very appreciative that we had four pacers for the 2.5 hour group, because that was a large group at the beginning. But at the end, it was, like I said in the last podcast or two podcasts back, there was there was nobody with us at the end. Another big thing that happened last year, which will be even bigger next year, is I decided upon my police retirement date. In August, I surpassed the 26 years of service mark, and come June 1st of 2019, I'll be eligible to retire. I'll be age 50 at that point with the required number of years of service in what they call in Virginia hazardous duty, enough to get what's called the law enforcement supplement to your pension. Some people live on it, but I'm going to get another job and work full time. But next year is going to be a huge thing after changing fields after 26 years. I've done lots of different jobs in police work. But the overall field has been the same. I was 6 years at one agency and then 20 years at the agency I'm with now. It's been very rewarding, but it's time to move on. I feel like I've done enough there, and I'll have a lot more to say about that when I'm civilian again. Another big accomplishment from the year was the map run. Probably one of the bigger things that took up every week. It was a weekly effort, just about. Did that with Ashland Bob, Ashland Brian, and Ashland Tom, and we were able to finish that before Brian makes his official full move to Atlanta. We ran together this morning. I'll talk about some of the training runs I've done here lately just to get ready for the 50 miler. Huge accomplishment. And what the owner of the caboose did, he hung up the framed map that we made a color copy of that. I've got the original saved for a special occasion. And my wife had taken a picture of us with the map, and it's the owner of the caboose where we have our Saturday breakfast. Hung that up in the area where we sit every week, you know, so it was really cool. So we've gotten some interesting feedback from our friends around our small town where we live. There's, you know, it's a small town, about 7,000 people live here. And the four of us know lots of different people going out in different directions. And so we hear a lot of interesting feedback about covering every street in the town. I think it was about 103 miles is what it took us to cover all the roads. And we've had some people tell us, oh, I probably could have done it in less than that, or I didn't know it was that many miles in town. And we try to explain that we have to retrace our steps on a lot because there's no way to run every street without running over the same route at some point to go out and get new streets and whatnot. Anyway, I talked about all that in the last show. Don't need to review it now, but so much. But that was a huge accomplishment on a small scale. And we're very, very appreciative of that. And the most important part of it was that all four of us did it all together, and that was really cool. As I mentioned earlier, I'm right in the middle of the training for the 50-miler on February 2nd. That's the Light to Light 50 in the Outer Banks of North Carolina. So in order to give you an idea what the weekly training mileage is, I'm 33 days out. The reason I know that is because I saw my friend Tina that I just mentioned. I saw her running with her group this morning, and I asked her how her training was going, and she said, oh, did you know we're 33 days out? And I just thought, oh, boy, I didn't realize it was that. I knew it was about a month away. I didn't realize it was so close. But I've got all my weekly mileage all worked out, and what I am going to do is that today is a Monday, okay, December 31st. And my training cycle goes Monday through Sunday. So this past week, meaning the one that ended yesterday, I had 45 miles for the week. And what I've been doing is I've been just incrementally increasing. Then I increased probably quite a bit, getting up to 45. I didn't do it so I was going to get hurt, but I had to kind of get things moving along as I was sketching out my training plan. And so what I'm going to do is follow that up with 55 miles for this week, starting today. So I did 10 miles this morning. I got up and did 5 before I met up with Ashland Bob and Ashland Brian. Did miles 6 through 10 with them. We went and got something to eat. And then I'm here looking at my schedule now. Tuesday and Wednesday, 5 milers. And then 25 on Saturday, 10 on Sunday. And that should add up to 55. So 10, 15, 20. 45. Yeah. So I'm going to peak at 55 miles for the week. And the reason I'm going to go for 55 is I'm not really sure if that extra 5 miles is going to help me much, but the Light to Light 50 is actually over 50 miles. I believe last year it came out to something like 52.3 or 33 or something like that. It's actually over 50 miles. So I kind of wanted to get one of my training weeks to exceed what I'm going to do in one day. And then the week after that, I've got nothing on the calendar. So I'm going to because 55, I'm going to peak, and that's going to require some rest. So I'm probably not even going to run on January 7th and 8th, the 2 weeks or the 2 days. Probably do a couple runs Wednesday and Thursday, and then do another double-digit run on the 12th and 13th. Probably double long-run sandwich, probably doubles on both days, maybe 10 and 10. And then I do a 50-mile week. And the way I've got that one mapped out is completely different than what I've been doing before, because it's going to be that 50K on the 19th of January without a recovery run on the following Sunday. So I'll do a run of 31 all in one day, a 50K, I've done that once before by myself here in the town. I was, I remember that it was, I remember where I met, where I made the 50K mark because I misjudged my distance and I ended up walking, I think, the last 2 miles home after I had made the distance, which I guess I could have counted that. A lot of walking. That day of the 31, I'll probably do a lot of practicing of the 5 and 5, which is what I plan to, what I plan to do at the 50 miler is the first 5 hours at 5 miles an hour and then go to a 5 and 5. That's what I tried to do last year. And then I had to modify it some as I got tired or had a real bad chafing problem. So the third, when I do, well, the 25 miler, I'll probably practice some of that too, but definitely when I do the 31 miler, and that'll be a 50 mile week. And then it's a 2 week taper. And, I just get ready for the race at that point. So, I think I've got my training mapped out pretty good, sketched out pretty good. I've, you know, I've done several 50 mile races successfully. Well, the first one, I burned my feet off. That's a long time ago. I think that was 2010, that North Face. Oh, that was awful. No one's ever asked me for the pictures from that. There's some really bad foot pictures from that day. I learned a lot that day, really did. Maybe that's probably why I should stay off trails, because my foot just moves around too much in my shoes. Speaking of shoes, I got two new pairs of the Paradigm, so I can stink those up really good during training and get the car stunk real bad wherever I put those shoes. So I'm looking at my training. I'm pretty confident that that's a good plan. Sometimes the weekday runs get a little rough because of what happens at work, but I'm committed to make it work and get to bed early enough where I can not staying up late, and then I get tired from working and then don't want to run when I get home. That's usually the biggest hang up is something happens at work and I get all out of a routine or, you know, get knocked off my mojo and then I find an excuse. But these past couple of weekends, man, I've gotten up earlier on Saturday and Sunday than I do during the work days. And I've been very satisfied with my self-discipline, getting the runs in, getting the distance. I ran 20 this past Saturday, got up early, did, let's see, I think eight on my own, then met up with Monica, my wife, and my dog Blue. We did 3, and then 8, 9, 10, 11, and maybe I did almost 9, because then I met up with Ash and Bob, and we didn't even have 7 to go. I know it all amounted to 20 because I did the math just to make sure. And I felt pretty good after the 20 miler. I really did. So that's why I want to try to get out and do a 25 miler. And I know Dr. Smitty would say, hey, man, why do you should go to 26.2? If you're going to 25, you should at least go to the marathon mark. No, I'm going to stop at 25 because that's what my plan is. And it gets me if I do 10 on the day after that, which will be tough. I'll get 55 for the week, and that might be a new personal distance record for the week for me. My body tends to kind of start breaking at 50 miles for the week, but I feel a little stronger this time, and so I'm going to see what happens if I take it a little further. Okay, well, that is the still got the email bag section of the show to go to. I'm checking my list here. That was a big stack of stuff. That's 28 minutes of stuff right there. If you're still with me, I hope you, that's a complete update with everything that's going on with me right now. So, let's check the email bag section of the show. I heard from, Down Under Dave. He's saying just a quick postcard to wish you the happiest of family Christmases. Wonderful 2019. He says, he knows next year is going to be a big year with all the changes and running adventures planned. So we hope it all works out. He says they're having heavy flooding here at the start of summer. So it's funny how we're just starting winter, which just started last week or a couple days before Christmas, and he is starting summer. Weird world we live in, huh, is what he says. So he's going to raise a toast. Appreciate that a whole lot, Dave. Always good to hear from you. And heard from Chris, who's one of the local listeners here, and he emailed me something he saw in... from Apple News about a guy named Ricky Gates, an ultra runner, ran every single street in San Francisco. And Chris's comment was that he probably listened to our podcast and decided to go do this in San Francisco. And so I linked to the article here. It's a runner's world. The guy's name is Ricky Gates. Took him 1,300 miles, 147,000 feet of elevation, 46 days. There's a picture of him on the site. I'll tell you what, I'll link to this in ashlanddave.podbean.com as well. It's a Runner's World article, but it's kind of looks like it's buried kind of deep in there. Like the link is too hard to read. But there's a picture of him running with a surgical mask on and in front of a bunch of filthy-ass graffiti and a dirty-ass street. And we had a lot of litter in Hanover, or Ashland, but not a whole lot of graffiti, and I certainly didn't have to run with a mask. But he's also got a map on here, and it's just incredible how he logged this. Yeah, that is really cool. He's an accomplished ultra runner, looks like. So I'm not going to go into all that right now, but that's pretty incredible. And like Chris said, he probably did copy us. Appreciate that, Chris. It's very funny of you to bring that up. And of course, I heard from Christelle. She's a CNO Canal 100 finisher, and she is providing me plenty of advice. So Christelle, I appreciate hearing from you, and thanks for going back and forth with me through the emails and giving me lots of advice. And I'll be having more questions for you. So that's the show. Happy New Year to everybody. You can reach me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. Hope you have a great 2019. And I appreciate you listening to the show, downloading the show, and coming back for each episode. I'll keep putting them out in 2019. And this is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running, and don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week. Yeah.